Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
A love that is so deep, so wide. A love that holds our very world in the palm of its hand. A love that no matter where we are, what we're doing, what we're going through, it's there to catch us when we fall. It's there to wrap its loving arms around us and to wipe the tears from our eyes. And for that love, we're so grateful tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, worship team. All right, so this is kind of weird. Hi, everybody. I know this is a little abnormal. You're not used to seeing this guy down here on the floor talking to you for an hour. But you know what? We're here. So you showed up. You're going to listen. Man, there is nothing like having a couple of people's undivided attention for a little while. My worship team knows that that I like to talk, so they get trapped up here like pre-rehearsal, and I talk to them for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes before we even sing a note. Sometimes it's just business, sometimes it's stuff that God's speaking to me, sometimes it's just some joking around, but nonetheless, I still enjoy it. Steve turned on the lights, you can now see my good side, so that's positive. Make sure that's the side you look at. Pastor Marcia and Pastor Allen, like I said earlier, at the lake enjoying some time down there together, they asked me if I would spend... yes, not just one, but 2 weeks talking to y'all. So if you're not happy with tonight, just stay home next week. It'll be all right. I'll stand in here and talk to an empty house, I guess. But hopefully that's not the case. Nonetheless, they've asked me to just talk to y'all for a couple of weeks, specifically about worship. She texts me and she's like, look, I know you're not just a worship leader and you have so much more in your heart and blah, 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 but that's just what we really feel like right now. And I was like, dude, it's cool. I'll do it. I'd love to. So I texted them today, told them, you know, again, y'all have fun. I appreciate the opportunity. If I'm being honest, I kind of live for this. This is why I get up in the morning, all right? It's not to go to the Montgomery Performing Arts Center and sit there for console training all day long from this guy from Yamaha that looks like Vin Diesel. Literally looks just like him. All day long, I sat there and listened to this guy talk about faders. I'm like, bro, it's a fader. It's not that cool. But, you know, he's pretty proud of his $80,000 console that we just gave him $80,000 for. So he wanted to talk about it for a while. But anyways, all that being said, we are going to start a 2-week mini-series, sure, some teaching on this idea, this thing that we call worship, okay? A couple of weeks ago during the offering, I kind of alluded to my topic. Again, my worship team has heard this a million times because this is my personal, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, revelation. Sure, on this idea of worship, and it's this equation that you see above my head: adoration plus action equals worship. Okay, that's kind of what we're going to dive into, especially this week. Next week will look a little bit different, but it's still going to have the same idea. Today, I want to really dive into what I refer to as the why behind the what. Okay, there's no reason to do anything unless we understand why we're doing it, right? That's a key to everything in our life, but especially to the things that we do here in our corporate gatherings. We kind of internally have this different I don't know, perspective. It's just a different name that I kind of always use, and we call it an experience. Okay, this is not just like we show up and whatever happens, happens. It'll be cool. You know, that's not what we do. It's a weekend experience. It's a midweek experience. We're developing all week long. I spend hours every month praying about lists, song lists. Like, it's not like we're just throwing this stuff together and being like, eh, dartboard. It's not ibuprofen. Like, throw it in your mouth, whatever sticks. That's the dosage. Like, that's not what we're doing. We're actually, like, thinking about this stuff, praying about this stuff. That's what we're here doing. But I heard this pastor one time say this phrase. He said, I don't believe you can understand my glory until you know my story. He was a big megachurch pastor. That might work a little better for him. For me, it's more or less, I know y'all know me, but I still feel like everybody has a story, right? Everybody has this thing that's happened to them for the last, you know, for me, it's been like 35 years. For others, it may be longer. But we all have this story. It develops us. It turns us into who we are, right? And I think that that's important for me to kind of start to go through that with you guys, not as like this resume thing. That's not what this is. But I want you to kind of understand why I believe that this revelation is true. Why I believe that it was something that God said to me. God spoke that to me. So I'm going to spend a moment here just kind of, I'm going to read it so I don't mess it up. I wanted to tell you guys, I've been a part of worship teams since I was like eight years old. My mom was actually our worship leader at the, I don't even know why I have notes, I'm not going to use them, was the worship leader at the church that I grew up at in Warsaw, Indiana. Not just one in Poland, there's one in Indiana too. The orthopedic capital of the world, that's where Zimmer and Biomed, if you've ever had a hip replacement, it came from Warsaw, Indiana. It's the only place they make them. My dad polished shoulders. That was his job. Sat at a desk and polished shoulders for implants. And that was kind of the deal. Like, my best friend, he did this. It was the deal there where you grow up and you take daddy's job at the orthopedic company. Like, that was the way this worked, okay? It was kind of like the family farm, except it was the family Johnson & Johnson. So that was sort of how that worked. Luckily for me, that was not my story. I went to college. I went to Indiana University. Go Hoosiers. Basketball, sorry. I know you guys aren't into that. It's a football state. I spent some time there as a bass player. I had a scholarship to play bass, because what can't you do with a degree in the bass guitar, right? So I went there. I did that for a couple of years. Then I went to Nashville, and in Nashville, I studied audio engineering at a different school, music production, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, there was another series of unfortunate events. We'll get into that later. And then I moved to South Florida. And in South Florida, I went to a church called Life Church. Some of y'all are familiar with that. That's where Zach is down there. He's got a couple of titles, wearing a couple of hats now down there. That's where LTI is. That's where Pete was a pastor at for a while, down in South Florida. I started going to that church about a month after I was going there. I joined their worship team, started playing piano on their team. A month after that, that turned into a full-time staff position as the music director, assistant worship pastor, whatever you wanted to call it at the time. You know how those titles change all the time with the times. That's where I met Kayla. She was actually the receptionist or something there at the time. And she answered the phone, good morning, Life Church. And don't tell her I did that. And that's actually where I met her. We got married in another church around the corner because it was prettier. happens. Life Church was they're hip, okay, but they're not exactly pretty. So it's not a perfect setting for a wedding. Nonetheless, After that, I got to meet this guy up the street. His name was Mike Cole, really cool, bald-headed dude. He was the worship leader at this church, also in Fort Myers, called Next Level Church. They're actually a branch off of Highlands. We all know that, right? So that's just for reference. Started meeting with him, really developed a great relationship with him. He invited my wife and I then to move back to Nashville to plant a church. So we moved to Nashville, and just right outside of Nashville in a town called Mount Juliet, we planted a church called Story Church. Story Church no longer is there as Story Church. It's called New Tribe Church now or something like that. They're thriving. They're doing great. They're having a blast. That place is amazing. But my wife got pregnant, and I needed to make money. And there's not a lot of money in church planting. So what I did is I took a job at a church in Indiana, Kokomo, Indiana, as a matter of fact. Don't really want to talk about that either. About 5 months, moved back to South Florida. In South Florida, I jumped back in at Life Church, was just serving there on the worship team, and then took a job as an executive pastor at this place called Faith Bible Fellowship in Cape Coral. It's like this island right over the causeway in Fort Myers. Cool little church. I totally rebranded them, changed the name to Refresh Church, and then we moved them into a permanent facility. And then God started speaking to me and told me that I needed to go to Millbrook, Alabama. Hey, everybody. I'm glad I'm here. I hope you're as glad as I am. Don't answer that. Let's move on. So again, I just say that so you guys know, like, I've done this a little bit. I've been in this kind of world for a while, and this kind of stuff that we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks is culture shifting. It's culture setting. You know, Pastor Allen spent a long time speaking on this idea of culture and culture of honor and all of these things, and part of that is a culture of worship. There it is. It starts up there and it works its way this way, right? And that is the way that we function as a worship team. That's us, right up there. Our mission statement as a worship team, just so you guys all know, is to create an environment where y'all can encounter God. That is why we go up there every Sunday. Not because I'm a rock star, because I'm not. Right? I like playing guitar, I like singing, but that's not why I do it. I do it because we're trying to be a catalyst for the presence of God to manifest here. Amen? All right. So this is this idea, you know, I want to get into this equation, but before we do that, let's jump to Deuteronomy 10:12. Yes, worship pastors have scripture verses. It's awesome. So let's read this together. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? So this is happening like right after Moses got the second set of commandments. Because remember, like, he smashed the first set. Okay, so he had to get another set. So that this is right after that. He comes down, God tells him, you're gonna put that in the Ark of the Covenant. That's the big gold box from the Indiana Jones movie that they put all the sacred things in, right? That's this. So it says, require from you, but to fear, and I use this version because a lot of times we get hung up on that word. The word is yare, I think is how you pronounce it. And it literally means, and worship. It literally means stand in awe, reverence. That is what that word means. So don't get hung up there. With awe-filled reverence and profound respect to walk, that is to live each and every day, in all his ways, and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, your choices, your thoughts, your whole being. And to keep the commandments. And to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. So, what does that mean? That is literally a mashup of adoration, love, right? Passion, and action. That's a reaction. That's something that we do in correspondence to the love, to the adoration. That is literally what that is, right? And like this idea that that this word fear kind of gives us, right? Like, again, I just want to make sure we spend a minute on that. I had this, my best friend, still my best friend, growing up, we went to college together. He moved to Nashville with me. We moved somewhere else together, spent a lot of time together. His dad, he grew up United Pentecostal. Not sure if you guys know what that is, but that's the way he grew up, in a very strict church, very strict environment. His dad never spanked him because he didn't have to. My friend Derek's dad had a belt, and he hung it on the door. That's all he had to do. That's kind of the idea right there, right? So there's like this idea of fear, but it's not really fear. It's respect, right? It's adoration. It's standing in awe. It's knowing that there could be a... I tell Grayson all the time, two is easy, three is consequences, right? Because I got into this habit of counting. And I used to hate when parents would count. Like, they're one, two, and you're giving them, like, 5 minutes to figure out that they're going to get it right. I don't do that anymore. I just say, hey, dude, two is easy, three is a consequence. He repeats it all the time now. He knows what that means. He means he better get it together, right? So that's kind of that idea. Here's another example. This one comes out of Ecclesiastes. It's a writing attributed to Solomon, which is King David's son, probably the richest man at that time who had ever lived. And it starts with him saying how everything in the world is meaningless, right? Everything's meaningless. But he ends with 12:13, which is, when all has been heard, the end of the matter is fear God. Again, same word, yare. Worship him with awe-filled reverence, knowing that he is the Almighty God, and keep his commandments, for this applies to every person. Again, more love God, obey God, right? We keep seeing this. This is where we're going. Loving God and the corresponding action to go with it, right? So let me give you one more example here. This is actually Jesus talking in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. After being questioned about which commandment is the greatest, he says that the greatest commandment is, and Jesus replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. Right? That's what he says. Let's keep going. Let's jump to 39. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for others. Again, love God. Action. Serve God. Have I proved it to you yet? So like all through the Bible, we see this constant thing that happens, these constant examples of adoration in action. So let's break it down a little bit. Why adoration? Why love? I believe that we are all created to worship. We're all created to worship something, right? Every one of us. And sometimes that means in church, you know, cross-denominationally, or sometimes that's just in life. There used to be this show I watched on TV all the time. It was called Snake Salvation. Have you guys ever heard of this show? No? Okay. I was going to show you a video, and then I was like, probably not a good idea. But it's if you're not into snakes, you would hate this video. But there's this church in East Tennessee, and this whole show was based on this crazy guy, okay? Like, let's just be honest with you. This dude's insane. I hate snakes. I'm good with, like, watching them on TV and stuff and, like, watching vlogs of dudes that, like, handle these, like, 20-foot snakes. If I see one in real life, full-on girl mode, dude, I am out. I'm out. But this the reason I bring it up is because their idea of worship was different, okay? Like, this is one of those churches that believe that during their community, like their corporate worship gathering, they were going to handle venomous snakes. And then they do this other thing, like with this flammable liquid in a glass bottle, and they light the top, and they're like, and they do weird stuff, like with this fire all over them. Whatever, dude, to each their own, but not my style. The dude ended up getting bit by a venomous snake. He is no longer with us. The show does not exist anymore, okay? Like, but we're all created to worship something. And again, I didn't show you the video, even though I kind of wanted to. I was like, probably not on my first time ever speaking to these people at No, I'm not going to show it next week either. I don't want to get in trouble my first try. So, you know, I don't know what their deal is, but what I do know is that people are looking for ways to worship. That's what they're doing. They're looking for ways to worship. It might look like handling snakes. It might look like Pastor Pete and Ashley at a football game on a Saturday afternoon, right? But nonetheless, we're all looking for a way to worship, right? And so it's what's interesting to me, and this is kind of the key here, is there's this like underlying thing to it that's really all about passion. It's all about passion. That's what adoration is. That's what love is. It's all about passion. And as I alluded to earlier, you know, I grew up in church. It wasn't a snake handling church, but I grew up in church. And I affectionately refer to this church as a charismaniac church. You ever heard that term before? That was the church I grew up in, okay? Like, I'm serious. Flags, like dancing streamers, you know, people. This one lady had a pillow. I'm sure you've heard Pete talk about this before. At the last church, this lady had a pillow and a crown on top of it. And the pillow had like this really long draping purple train, like the crown was getting married. And she would walk around in the church during worship with this thing. And I'm like, cool, man. Like, again, do your thing, bro. They told me if I don't cry, the rocks are going to do it, right? Like, we've all heard this before, right? I mean, it was very flop around like a perch on a dock kind of stuff, you know, rolling around in the aisles. I'm serious, charismaniac. But I learned something. I learned passion. I learned passion. And you know, I think that the interesting thing about passion is it goes both ways, right? Our passion can be motivated poorly or towards Him. And, you know, I think that I told you guys earlier, we'll get to that in a second. The other part of my story is that my passion took me down a different road for a long time than what it should have. And it's not anything I'm proud of, but it's part of who I am, right? My passion went towards drugs, alcohol, all of the above, right? Started with the easy stuff, you know, the weed and stuff, and it got stupid, okay? And the thing that changed for me, right, is during all this time, you know, it my passion was directed towards negativity, okay? And really what it was is it was directed towards me. That was my passion, all right? And, you know, in high school, I was featured in this, like, national publication for bass players, okay? Like, and that got to my head. Next thing I knew, like, I'm going to Nashville, I'm going to be a rock star because that's what bass players are, right? Rock stars. But that's what I thought I was going to do. And it took me down a weird path. Now, did I have some success? Of course. But it wasn't success that was pointed at where my passion should have been aiming, okay? And so what I ended up doing is, like I said, I found out that my parents were moving to Fort Myers. My grandfather was really sick, super old, and he needed my mom. And so my mom was moving to Fort Myers. I was actually in Los Angeles at the time when that happened. I won't go into all the details, but I bought 7 plane tickets when I left Los Angeles and only took one of them. So you can kind of let your imagination run with that one. But I wanted to go down there because I thought, well, I'll get away from me. I'll get away from my stuff, right? But like the great theologian Michael Jackson said, you got to start with the man in the mirror, right? Like, so everywhere I went, there I was. Nothing changed about my situation because I always was going with myself. I couldn't leave who I was back there by myself. I needed help, right? It's not something that is easily done on our own. And I was using something that God put inside of me for not God. I was using something that God gave me to make myself famous, not to make the name of Jesus more famous, right? And so why do I tell you all of this? Because, again, we're all created to worship something. What is it? What are we aiming it at? What are we worshiping? What are we spending our time doing? And you know, I think that Ephesians 3:10 kind of gives us a way of looking at this. Ephesians 3:10 says that his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in our Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? And it was always God's intent for us to worship. Even, in my opinion, teach the angels how to do it. Okay? They were created to worship God too. But here's the difference between them and us. When they were created, what was the first thing they saw? The glory of God. We, on the other hand, we were born into sin, right? And we've never seen, I don't know about you guys, I've never seen the face of God, okay? So there is absolutely no way for me to stand next to an angel and my worship be less effective or less meaningful to the heart of God than someone who spends all day with him, all day, right? What do you guys think would be more meaningful? If someone loved you because they had to, or if someone loved you because they wanted to, right? So that's the first part of the equation. We were all created to worship. That's adoration. Why action? I believe that wisdom is proved right by action. Matthew 11, 18 through 19 says that for John came neither eating nor drinking with others, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking with others, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of the tax collectors and sinners, including non-observant Jews. Yet wisdom is justified and vindicated by her deeds in the lives of those who respond to me. Wisdom is proved right by action. Jesus is saying that what we do is the proof of whether or not adoration or passion is glorifying to God or to ourselves, right? So my actions in the first part of my story were definitely not proving wise. I think we could all agree with that. But how did that change from then to now? I showed up at Life Church on a Sunday morning, Thanksgiving weekend, in a white linen suit with flip-flops on, and I couldn't take my sunglasses off because I was embarrassed of probably what my eyes looked like. My hair was about down to my butt. My beard was about equal. I was in rough shape, y'all. Rough shape. I was drenched in cologne, trying to mask the smell of where I was the night before, because I was playing somewhere, doing something, you know. Chewing enough gum to choke a normal man so that people wouldn't smell my breath. I was in rough shape. And I'd say we made it about halfway through the worship set. About halfway. And God was just like bringing everything back to me. Like, you know, you have that like picture thing happen in your head where like this flash frame video thing happens. And like all of these experiences that I had had that led up to right in that moment was kind of flashing past my mind's eye, if you will. And about that time, I would say that I probably had one of the most real and true encounters with the love of God that I've ever had in my life. And as I wept through most of the remaining of the worship set, you know, I heard God speak to me. And that was something that I hadn't heard in a really, really, really long time. And I realized that day, through all my mess, through the stench of the world, you know, God met me there and he spoke to me and he said, either way, you're going to do what I called you to do, and we can go the easy way or we can go the hard way. And you know what Uncle Alan or Pastor Alan always says? I said, yes, sir. Right? That was kind of how that went for me too. I was like, yes, sir. Sounds like a plan. I'm going to choose the easy way. That was my decision that day. Because the hard way I had been doing, and it wasn't working very well. And so it was time for me to choose his way, which honestly was the easier way. That day I made a shift. I dove right back in. Instead of continuing a path of destruction, you know, I chose to take a path that was more healthy. And, you know, I think that, the reason that I tell you that story is because it begs the question, was that wisdom? Was that good? Was my action proved right by what was taking place in my life? The answer was no, not even close, right? I was worshiping myself, which in turn created negative actions that were proving that I had no idea what was going on in my world, and all I thought about was me and not about him. Amen? And you know, it's kind of like this other example that I can sort of come up with, and I don't know. Have you guys ever heard of this church called Westboro Baptist? Okay. Again, let's look at this, okay? And let's think about this idea of our actions being proven right, right? And it's kind of like this whole thing with Westboro Baptist. It's racism, period, right? And in my opinion, you can't be racist and a Christian, okay? It's sort of a weird, like, thing that doesn't jive together, right? It's one of those things that, like, as I was studying this message, I was watching some videos, you know, Snake Salvation, some other ones, and I came across this video on YouTube that showed, like, some of the most horrific and unbelievable things that still go on in our country every day, okay? And like, even by churches. Are you kidding me right now? Like, I want to break this microphone just thinking about it, okay? I'm in my truck watching this video, like, about to have my own personal earthquake. It's kind of like Christian radio. Like, I'm gripping the steering wheel so hard that I'm going to crush it. It was sort of that deal that I was having in that moment, going, what in the world? How can you say that you're trying to push the gospel of Jesus Christ forward and you're acting like a lunatic? The stuff you're saying, it's like Hitler and the Nazis. It's insanity. But their actions are not proven right. That is not wisdom. And they think, never mind. I'm going to get off of that one before I get really mad. I'm going to stop that. The last part is what it equals, right? Adoration plus action equals worship. So let's stop right here and make something abundantly clear. I am not talking about this, all right? Yes, this is part of it, okay? That is not all of it. Everything that we do, especially in this building, is worship. Giving is worship, right? Serving is worship, right? Sitting in the kids' ministry is worship. This is all connected. Sitting where you're sitting, listening to someone tell you about Jesus is worship. All of it, okay? So just, again, I know I'm the worship leader and I'm, you know, there's guitars and pianos. You know, I know that's my role. But again, that's not what the only thing that we're talking about here, okay? We good? Everybody get that? So the last part about it is the worship. So we're all created to worship something, right? Adoration and action. Wisdom is proved right by our actions equals worship. And I think for the last point, we go back to Moses, where we started. And back to the original Ten Commandments. Well, the second set, anyway. And what does it say? It says to worship no other God before me, right? We can all agree on that. That's what it says. All right. So essentially, what he says, that second commandment, is don't take any idols. Don't take any idols. Worship God, don't worship the idols. We talked a little bit about, you know, at the top of our conversation tonight about how people kind of like they worship all kinds of different stuff, right? And, you know, it could be money, success, power, reputation, likability, respect. A lot of people I know, they worship the idea of respect. Sin. Drugs, porn, right? Sports, Roll Tide. Bands, movie stars. That my job, you know, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of crazy stuff, a lot of crazy people that I want to be like, if I could bottle what you just had for like the lead singer of Toto, when you started crying, like, if I could bottle that up and take that to my church, I would just pour it on the ground. Like, these people get crazy, okay? They're like, where's the meet and greet? I'm like, I don't know, sound and lights. You know, I don't know what you want from me. And, you know, I think that a lot of times that we see that. We see it, especially in this state, with the football, right? In my home state of Indiana, it's just like you guys, right? You guys play football. We play basketball. Like, I'm 4. My dad has zero athletic ability, and he's out there, like, screwing a backboard and a hoop to the top of the barn. And I'm like, what's that for? What do you think I'm going to do with that? He's like, here's your ball. So it's just what you did, okay? I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Hoosiers. Has anybody seen that movie? If you haven't seen it, go get it. Watch it. It's worth it. My dentist was in that movie. they just came to Warsaw and, like, hired a bunch of people. It was really weird. I don't know. Whatever. We had, like, a $200,000 floor in our basketball court, okay? Seriously. And I tried to play basketball, and it was funny. And they said, go back up in the stands with the rest of the band nerds. And I was like, done. So that's what I did. So, you know, I again... my athletic ability is about the same as my dad's. Zero. Okay? But again, you have to play basketball. It's just the way it is. You have to play basketball. And so it was the same way up there, you know, Friday night. We didn't have football games. We had basketball games. Okay? Just like you guys have football games. Anyway, that's the deal, right? I mean, we worship some weird stuff. And, it's like, think about this for a second, okay? Let's say we take some ancient Hebrew man. Follow me. Pick him up, right? Bring him to 2019 and drop him off at the Iron Bowl in 2019. I'm serious. Think about this for a second. What do you think he's going to think is happening there? He's not going to think, well, it's a game. No, he's going to think there's, how many guys play football? 20-ish? There's 20 dudes down there, and we're all worshiping them, right? Like, that's what he's going to think. He's going to think this is some sort of huge, like, Passover celebration or something with hot dogs and beer. That's what he's going to think. He's not going to think that it's just a football game, right? Okay, so that's the kind of stuff, that's what I'm talking about. So, and again, I don't, please don't take this the wrong way. You can get excited about stuff, okay? I get excited about things. Charlie Daniels is coming to the Impact on August 2nd. I'm excited. I'm not going to be there because I'm probably going to have 2 new babies. So I'm probably going to be at home FaceTiming with one of my colleagues so I can talk to Charlie. Like, that's, but look, you can get excited about stuff. There's a difference, right? There's a difference between excited and worship. You can sit there on Saturday afternoon and you can yell at the TV and God will still love you. I promise. But here's the deal. You don't get to use that excuse, "I'm just not a passionate person," when you come in here on Sunday morning. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that excuse. Okay? I'm not going to come to you and be like, "Why didn't you raise your hands in worship, sir? You have a problem." No, that's not what I'm going to do. But you can't use that excuse with God anymore. Because trust me, he was there on Saturday when you were watching the game. Again, Roll Tide, whatever, cool. But he's here too on Sunday morning. And if you're just like on your phone the whole day and you couldn't care less about what's going on, you can't sit there and be like, "God, it's okay that I didn't, you know, fall on my face and cry for 6 hours today and snot up the carpet because I'm just not a passionate person." He's going to be like, "Sure. It's not what I saw yesterday," right? "When you were asking me to help Nick." Like, it's not, these are the conversations I have with God. I don't know about y'all, but like, God's my friend, so we talk like that, okay? So, like, listen, that's all I'm saying, okay? So you guys take that as you want, but again, you cannot use that as an excuse. "I'm just not a passionate person." And it kind of, like, brings me to this question. Like, ladies, are you more passionate about, like, that new recipe or, you know, the coolest design show with Chip and Joanna and Shiplap and stuff? Or, right? I mean, then you are about worshiping God? Or guys, are you more passionate about, I don't know. I've used the sports analogy too much tonight. Are you more passionate about, like, the dumb stuff they're saying on CNN that you want to go and, like, be like, "Well, Fox News said," or are you passionate about worshiping God? Like, these are the things that sometimes I think about when I'm standing right there singing songs. Like, you think I don't have time for that stuff to go through my head? I do. Like, it does. It goes through my brain. Like, what am I doing today? Like, you know, and so those are the kind of questions that I want you to start asking yourself. That's why I'm up here having this conversation with you. I want you to start thinking about these things and you know, questioning when you come in here on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night to a weekend experience or a midweek experience, and you're like, what am I, you know, God or idols, man? You got to pick, right? That's what my Bible says. You can't serve God and mammon, right? I mean, you can't. So you have to pick one or the other, and it's a choice, right? If I had a bunch of teenagers in here, I would say life is all about choices. Most of you know that and probably would say that to me. "You made a choice to talk about this tonight?" I know some of this seems obvious, okay? Like, yeah, Nate, I know I shouldn't watch, like, worship money or watch porn. Or I get it. Like, I know. But for some of us, we have a different idol. And I've found myself here before. It's that idol of theology. It's okay if you want to be quiet. That's fine. It's true. You know, we walk around as Christians and we say stuff that resembles God but isn't Him. That's idol worship, y'all. It is. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You're right. That's cool on your shoe and all, Steph, but, like, dude, that's totally out of context. That's not what that means. Like, it's not going to help you jump higher. Like, Christ isn't there helping you hit three-pointers, right? That's not what that means, right? Or maybe, well, my mom used to say this to me. "Nate!" I don't know why I always make her be an old Jewish lady, but it's not what she sounds like. But in my head, that's what, cleanliness is next to godliness, right? That's not in the Bible, okay? That's not God. Okay, I know I'm making jokes about it, but I'm serious, guys. Like, this is the kind of stuff we have to be careful. But it's what we do, right? We try to push some religious-sounding saying on our problems, thinking that that's going to cause us or others to overcome, right? But that's not the way it works. The Bible says that the truth will set you free. Not cleanliness. It's not going to make me go brush my teeth. It's not. Do that because I want to. There's this book called Mere Christianity. You guys heard of this? C.S. Lewis book. And I found, you know, as I was thinking about that last section of the message tonight, I was reminded of this passage of the book that I thought was made a lot of sense to kind of come to landing the plane with you guys tonight. It says that everyone has warned me not to tell you what I'm going to tell you in this last book. They say, the ordinary reader does not want theology. Give him plain, practical religion. I have rejected their advice. I like C.S. Lewis. I have rejected their advice. I do not think that the ordinary reader is such a fool. Theology means the science of God. And I think that any man who wants to think about God at all would like to have the clearest and most accurate ideas about him, which are available. You are not children. Why should you be treated like children? I had this pastor friend of mine, and he had a tendency to, now again, he had a different kind of church than this, and that's okay. There's a church out there for everybody. But the maturity level wasn't anywhere near what it is in this building, okay? And I don't mean that age-wise. I mean that, like, in the fact that they had not been Christians very long. And he had a tendency to not give people very much credit. And I used to hate that. And I would go be like, dude, give them a little bit of credit. They're not stupid. Like, they may not have been in this, like, they may not understand all of your jargon, your Christianese stuff that you say all the time, but they're not stupid. Like, you can give them the real thing. And that's the same thing I feel like with us. Getting away from that idol of theology, the science of God, and start worshiping God for who he is. He's a relational God. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they told me, they said, you know, I just kind of feel like I'm really distant from God right now. And I had to question why? And the person couldn't really put their finger on it. And I said, I know that for me, you know, I've been in those seasons where I felt like that too. And what I always felt like kind of helped me to pull myself out of a season like that was to re-engage at another level. And of course, I got a response about, well, that's works. Yeah, it is. And guess what? Relationships take work. Right? I mean, I'm all for grace. Trust me. Like, I've used it. I've needed it. But there's also that aspect of, you know, if we're going to be relational with our Father, with God, our Creator, if we're going to be relational and worship him, then it requires two things: love and work. Amen? Love and work. Adoration plus action equals worship. Here's the last question I want to pose to you as you go out of here tonight. What are you worshiping? Are your actions wise? Which part of my story that I told you tonight do you more relate to? Ask yourself those questions. And as you go through the rest of the week, make those actions prove wisdom. It's a choice. And it's not a hard one. Because I'm telling you, life is better with God. I think we can all agree with that, right? But what's interesting is that sometimes sometimes we find ourselves in those separation times, right? And sometimes we find ourselves in those moments where it feels like we're not as connected. And I have a really simple way for you to fix that. Again, there are so many opportunities in this building to serve. All right? And that is that, I'm telling you guys, it's amazing how that can reach down and pull you out of things that are just totally piling on top of you. And you feel like you have no answers. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. You have hit rock bottom. That is the best way to say, here I am. I am going to serve, because that is an act of worship, because I love you. Amen? So, I feel like we laid some groundwork today. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about how we worship. We're going to talk a little bit more about what it does in and through us. I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, the things that affect everything we do in our corporate gatherings as a church, as well as in our personal lives. We're going to dive into some of that stuff next week. So again, if you don't absolutely hate me after that, I will see you next week. if you liked it, then I'll see you next week. All right? Amen? God, we're so thankful again for an opportunity that you've given us to come here tonight. We are so thankful for this community, for this body. And God, I just ask that as they go out tonight, that you bless them and that you protect them and bring them back on Sunday morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.